We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Coast to Coast on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. I'm Karina Mustafa alongside Calvin Wetzel. We missed you guys last week, but make sure you guys go and check out some of our previous podcast episodes. And today we have a lot to get through. We're going to talk some NBA All-Star Weekend, but for WNBA purposes, of course. And then we're going to go through some bracketology stuff. And lastly, we'll give some games to watch as the month of February is kind of wrapping up soon, and we're getting very, very close to a tournament play. Cal, you ready?
I am ready. Yeah, we had a little bye week, I feel like. And, you know, we're both off doing fun things, and now we're hitting it again. I'm good. Let's go.
Yeah, well, actually, now that you bring that up, how was Nebraska-Iowa last week? Because you got to go to the game, even though Caitlin didn't break the record in that game.
Yeah. It was actually way cooler than Caitlin breaking the record. It's maybe not for everybody, but I think what I got to see that game was I would have rather seeing an amazing, iconic basketball game than getting to see the record. And she was 8 points away in the fourth quarter. I thought we might get to see it. Didn't score again. Nebraska kept chipping away at that lead. Finally hit that shot with Jazz Shelley. I will never forget it. So I have to thank Jess Keller who gave me that shirt from a few weeks ago that we talked about and Liv Butts for bringing me along on that game. Such a fun weekend, had a blast, and go Huskers.
Love that. Speaking of shirts, I would like to say breaking news, I have merch.
Let's go.
For any YouTube watchers, thanks to Cal and Jim Turvey, I now have a Virginia shirt. It is very, very nice. Very much like it. It's like a crop top, long sleeve. Very nice surprise. I really appreciate it. First of many, I hope.
Yeah. Let's keep them coming. I think Jim went there, if I remember correctly. Loyal listener of the pod. Jim's a good guy. He's our friend. And
we did WNBA fantasy last season. I remember. I can't remember. I think better than him.
I thought Jim won. Did you win?
Did he? I didn't win.
I don't remember who won.
I don't remember.
Who won. I was thinking it was Jim, but maybe it's, I don't know.
It was Jim. I don't know.
Jim, we were kind of like, wasn't
I'm
me.
Excited. Hopefully, hopefully we do it again because it was pretty fun. I know some people kind of, you know, let the ball drop a little bit there near the end, but I thought it was fun. I think like after there were a couple of moments where I forgot to set my roster and then that just kind of ended up biting me in the end, but no, it was super fun. I'm excited for that. Speaking of the WNBA, let's go to All-Star Weekend because Sabrina Ionescu had the All-Star Shootout with Steph Curry. She didn't win. She finished with 26 points. Steph wins with 29. was very competitive. There's a lot to kind of dissect throughout this and just kind of the weekend overall. But firstly, Cal, like just like thoughts on her performance and getting those 26 points.
It was an amazing performance. And for context, like when you line her up with Steph, 26 to 29, okay, she lost. Steph is the greatest shooter to ever walk the planet. When you line her up with any other NBA player that was in the actual NBA three-point contest, she was tied for the top score in any round. 26, there was a tie in that the first round, 26, and I believe 26. I forget if it was a tie or if it was just outright won the final round as well. Yeah, with 26, I believe, right? In the final round as well. So she basically would have tied and gone to the same tiebreak that they had if she were in that three-point contest. Steph Curry is different. That's it.
I feel like if you're going to lose to someone, Steph is a good person to lose to. Honestly, like for anybody who hasn't been able to watch Sabrina kind of practice, like whether that's like at shoot around or just like in regular practice, like she is a really talented shooter. I mean, like everything drops in practice. Like she's so good with it. Her form is really nice. Like she's probably one of my favorite shooters to watch. And so when she started, she went first, and then when she started just like draining like the entire first rack, I was like, let's go. I was so pumped up. I knew she was gonna do great, and she did. But there was kind of something that didn't ruin the entire experience, but ruined quite a bit of it. And that was Kenny and Reggie's very sexist commentating. You know, whether that was like Reggie before the shootout even started saying that Steph is in midseason form and he has the advantage, and Sabrina is not in season form, and the only like thing she's been doing is practicing for the Olympic qualifying. And I was like, did you hear yourself say that sentence? She's practicing for the Olympic qualifying with Team USA, but that somehow gives her a disadvantage. And then of course Kenny at the end starting to just go off and saying that they should have done it from the WNBA line or whatever, WNBA Steph should have had the WNBA ball, all these like random things. Nobody was stopping him. He was just kind of going off. And I feel like that just kind of put a damper on an experience where I think most people would have thought that the like trolls in social media comments would have been the main characters to kind of be the ones to come out with those comments. But to have like the actual main broadcasters doing that, I feel like was even more disappointing. I don't know. Thoughts on that, Cal?
That was my exact thought, is that we all knew when this event was announced that there was going to be some huge idiots who were super weird about it. And there's going to be some dudes on Twitter with not their own picture as their profile, with like three followers who say some misogynistic garbage. And like, regardless of whether, like, if Sabrina wins, oh, she had an unfair advantage. If she loses, like, women can't shoot. Like, we knew this was going to happen. And I still think it was a cool event. But for it to come from the actual broadcasters, it's just a reminder that, like, this isn't just these random nobody dudes who feel this way. There are men in positions of power and positions of influence who have these opinions. And it's why it's so important to have like women in all these spaces. Like, I was so glad that Candace Parker was announcing the All-Star game, you know, alongside them, because you just need that. And so I still think it was a great event. And I mean, we can talk about where they go from here. I do think it's cool to kind of see where this could go next. But definitely need to maybe figure out, can we get someone on this other than Kenny Smith? Because,
and you know, I found out like good. On their alternate broadcast, they had Kia Nurse commentating on the alternate broadcast. She just wasn't on.
Maybe
the
let's
main
just
one.
Bring Kia on like, the main one.
Exactly. That's like exactly my thought. And I didn't even know that was a thing until after, like, she went and she posted on Instagram. And there was also someone in my comments saying there's an alternate broadcast with Kia Turner. And I was like, who's Kia Turner? But then I realized they probably meant Kia Nurse. But like, yeah, like I saw that. I was like, we actually had a W player commentating on this, and she wasn't on the main broadcast, and instead we had to listen to this. And so, yeah, I think I saw Alicia Clark also be like, I'm going to talk to my teammate about her coworkers, because this is just too much. I was literally said like 12 times. I was like, where's Candace? Like, where is she? Definitely was missing her. But yeah, like even this event moving forward, I think it was a very good bar to set in terms of like Sabrina versus Steph specifically, outside of like all the commentary. I'm excited to see like even more players kind of go into this. I saw Ryan Howard tweeted that she wants to do it against Tyrese Maxey next. And I feel like that would be a very exciting matchup too. Do you have any W players that like you would like to see involved in this?
Oh, so many. I think we could grow this to be a big event if we wanted to. It doesn't have to be one versus one. We could, yeah, like you said, Ryan Howard, I think Arike, we could get involved. We could get, we could do a little team thing. We could do like Jackie Young and Kelsey Plum versus Steph and Clay, you know, like a little, a little Warriors versus Aces type of deal. We could get Caitlin Clark in.
And I think they used to have something like that. Like they would have like the shooting stars competition where I think they would mix like W players with NBA players. So yeah, like why not bring that back? Why not incorporate that with, you know, players of today? Like that'd be so fun.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of room for a lot of creativity with this. And why not maybe get this involved at the WNBA All-Star game too? Like,
yeah, exactly. Like yeah,
I was NBA seeing players along for that.
Yeah, no, I was seeing some comments. I think Subria was one of the people who was like, why didn't we see any like promotion of the WNBA All-Star weekend being in July after this, like with so many eyes on the event, especially, you know, with Sabrina doing as well as she did. So yeah, for sure. I think that's definitely the next avenue to keep the promotion going, because I feel like, oh, actually before we even move on, I need to pick a bone with this because everybody thought it was at 8 o'clock Eastern. I thought that too. And Sabrina versus Steph didn't come on until like 2 hours in. And I was like, this is the main event. This is what everybody wanted to tune in for. And I'm sure they did that on purpose, but it was infuriating. So clean.
No, you bring up a great point with that and with the whole lack of promotion of the W, because here's the deal is that like NBA All-Star Saturday night has kind of sucked for a while. Like, let's just be honest, like the dunk contest was cool like 15 years ago. Now it's not. And like they needed to do something different. So they bring in a WNBA player who's this whole new audience, because there are a lot of people who watch the WNBA who don't watch the NBA as much, or who follow Sabrina, who maybe aren't following some of these other players. And then they tell them what time the All-Star Saturday night starts instead of what time Steph versus Sabrina starts. And so this really shows you that the NBA, that the people who put this all together, the marketing, everybody, they know that people watch women's basketball, because they used the fact that people watch women's basketball to bring those eyeballs into NBA All-Star Saturday night, which needed eyeballs because it hasn't been doing well ratings wise the last few years. And they thought, what can we do to get ratings up? Let's bring in women's basketball, because women's basketball does great.
Oh, the turntables.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. And I think I was seeing a lot of people be like, yeah, the W led this weekend, and it absolutely did. So yeah, if you're listening to this, I'm sure if you're listening to this, you know when W All-Star is. But if there are any NBA fans who have kind of trickled over this side, WNBA All-Star is going to be like mid-July in Phoenix. Make sure you tune in for that. That's always a lot of fun. Definitely like the more that I've gotten into women's basketball, the more that I've tend to like gravitate over to that side and enjoy WNBA All-Star Weekend a lot. So yeah, a lot of valid points made. Shout out Sabrina. What a shooter. Always love watching her. She still holds the overall record with 37. So until somebody beats that one, I don't think anybody can talk about it. So anyway, moving on. Let's go to some college basketball. We'll coast through college. And because Bracketology has now finally started, we've got so many people doing their rankings, whether that's the NCAA, our own Megan of Her Hoop Stats, as well as Mark Schindler. Those are kind of the three that we're going to go into. I'll make sure to link everything for anybody who wants to kind of look at the rankings. But let's kind of talk about anything that kind of sticks out at first, Cal, to you, maybe. I think the fact that like everybody has South Carolina as a number one seed, like I think that's like your number one seeds are very much just like easier to pick, I feel like. And then there are a couple of teams where I don't know, are you surprised at anybody who's maybe a little bit lower than you would originally have them?
Well, surprised is the wrong word. I would have had Gonzaga in and they weren't, but yeah. I'm not surprised because they're a mid-major and that's how the committee works. You have to do a lot.
Even though we've been talking about them for so long.
We've been talking about them. We brought Brenna on the pod, but I don't know.
Yes.
We don't know if anyone in the committee watches this pod. Probably not. We'll have to get on that. Like I said, I wasn't surprised, but I think they deserve it. Colorado as a one seed was a little bit surprising to me. But once you get around that 4 or 5, sort of like you said, the top of the one seed is easy. South Carolina done. That South Carolina could lose a game and still be the top seed at this point. Bottom of the one seed, top of the two seeds gets a lot tougher. So I understand it. Mm-hmm. I think it's just cool going back to what you said about all the different people doing bracketology. Like, it's cool that that's happening now because for a long time, the men's side had like 17 different people doing their bracketology or whatever. And the women's side had ESPN. That's it. And now the women's side has The Athletic with Mark Schiller, who we love, Her Hoop Stats, Megan Gower, who does a great job. CBS does it as well. And then obviously a few years ago, they started doing the committee reveal for the top 16, which we saw. And so that gets people talking too. So it's just like, just a sign of growth. And it's more to talk about, and which is exactly where the women's game is going. There's so much more that people are talking about.
Mm-hmm. And like one of the teams that is on actually pretty much all of these lists, a very exciting team that I feel like we should hit on, Oregon State, because they have had a crazy last couple of days, including that insane game against UCLA, where Talia just drained that game winner after it looked like Lauren Betts had the game winner. And that was just a very crazy back and forth. But they've been kind of an exciting team on this list. Did you see that game? Or like, I'm sure you saw the game winner across all socials.
I did.
Like,
I didn't see the whole game, but I saw the end.
Oh, God. The end was incredible.
It was one of the best. If anyone's listening to this and hasn't gotten and seen that ending yet, go look it up. The end of Oregon State, UCLA. We saw 4 game winners, basically, or what looked like game winners in the last 8 or 9 seconds of this game. And this was a huge win, by the way. I don't even know how I feel about this rule, to be fair. But for anyone who is in favor of the timeout advancing the ball rule, this game was a big win for that rule because we kept seeing that. And you only needed a second to get your next game winner. And oh, there's still like 0.8 seconds left. We got another game winner coming. Oregon State, they've been on a roll until obviously, you know, they dropped one yesterday, Sunday, as we're recording on Monday. It's tough because I don't know the status of Reagan Beers. I don't know if you've heard.
Yeah.
She got hurt in that UCLA game. They were down. They still came back and won the game at that crazy ending. And then she did not play against USC, and USC was able to win that game. I think partially because Reagan Beers wasn't on the court, despite Juju didn't even shoot that well, but Oregon State finally dropped one. So I hope we get to see Reagan Beers back. I actually don't know. I haven't seen any update. Do you know?
Yeah, there hasn't really been any update. The coach only mentioned her like very briefly during the game against USC, where he kind of said that they felt a little bit out of rhythm because Reagan wasn't on the floor with them. And that's kind of all we got in terms of a status update, which is not really a status update. But yeah, in case anybody missed that game, she goes down in the first quarter with a brutal hit to the face. Her nose was just pouring blood. She looked to be in a lot of pain. So hopefully she's okay. Hopefully we will see her back soon. But yeah, Oregon State for sure, one of the more exciting teams. Is there anybody on this list, or like in any of these like bracket lists, that maybe could be like a sort of Cinderella story that maybe people aren't talking about, whether that's like maybe NC State, although, you know, they're obviously going to be seeded pretty high. But yeah, is there any team that you're kind of looking to be like, they can make something happen?
Yeah, Cinderella's an interesting word because these are all the top 16, and your real Cinderellas are going to be like the 11 seeds. But yeah, in terms of like a final four,
like to me, it's like they have like the really top teams, and I'm just like, it's so hard for me to just be like, you know, like these really really bottom teams are going to do something. But you know,
no, I mean, to your point, like anyone other than South Carolina could almost, you could say they're Cinderella if they win the championship or make the championship, because it's South Carolina's to lose. But yeah, I mean, in terms of who could make a really deep run and sort of outperform their seed line, I mean, I look at the top 16 here. I still think LSU, obviously they were number one preseason and have underperformed a little bit. I think, did the committee have them on the 3 line? I want to say, I know that's where Mark has them. The committee had them on the 4 line, actually. Okay.
They're lower.
If they end up getting a 3 or 4 seed, that's definitely the type of team that could still come out of that region and give the 1 or 2 seed a lot of trouble in that region, I think, just with the talent that they have. And if they are really clicking at the right time, it's the boring answer, but I think UConn too. I mean, those are your preseason top two. And I think what we see a lot in college basketball is those teams that we thought would be really good, and then they falter a little bit, and then they, in March, they are who we thought they were. So I'm not saying either of those teams is actually going to be the top two, because that's South Carolina and no one else is close. But I do think that if you're a 1 or 2 seed, you don't want to see either of those two teams as the 3 or 4 seed in your bracket.
Yeah, UConn's an interesting one, and I kind of want to end on them before we move on to our games to watch. But they just, I don't know if the game's over yet. I think it is, but as of right now, we're recording. They just beat Creighton, I'm pretty sure, because they were up by a lot. It was close for the first half, but
pull
then
up the
they
score.
Ran away with it. But they're an interesting one too, because I think the broadcast was showing a quote from Gino from before the game, and he was basically just like, "There have been other teams in the past who have had like a lot of losses who got a number one seed, so maybe we could too." And I was just like, "Are we sure about that? I don't know." I appreciate like the confidence, and like it kind of goes back to what you're saying. Obviously, you don't really want to face someone like UConn, but I don't know. They're kind of in a weird spot. I don't really know how to measure this team. And obviously, the big news last week was that Paige announced that she will be returning for her senior year. I have a feeling, this is kind of what I'm going to end up with, I have a feeling a lot of the seniors are going to do the same thing as Paige. It might be a run it back situation. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Well, for UConn, first off, they did just win 73-53. And I don't think they have enough to get up to a 1 seed, just because obviously the Big East, there's some good teams. They just beat Creighton. Creighton's a good team. But I don't think they have the same number of really like resume building opportunities left on their schedule as they would if they played in, say, the ACC. So you maybe went out, get up to a 2 line. I don't think they're getting up to a 1 line. I mean, in terms of the seniors coming back, you know, one thing I did learn the other day, actually, is that Connor McCaffrey, Caitlin Clark's boyfriend, who also played at Iowa, works for the Pacers. That's something I did not realize until recently.
Yeah, he does.
I'm not sure if Caitlin Clark would pass up the opportunity to go play in the same city. We'll see.
I
definitely would be. Nothing would really shock me at this point, but I think I would be more surprised with Caitlin Clark coming back than I was with Paige. I think Paige, we kind of knew that was coming. I do probably lean that Caitlin Clark's coming out, but who knows? Crazy things have happened. Cameron Brink, same deal. I would probably lean her coming out, but again, who knows? I'm sure anyone who has a high pick or a possible high pick in the 2025 WNBA draft is fist pumping really hard every time they see one of those players coming back.
Yeah, like the Sparks. They have like all the picks in the first
They got some high ones this year too, so either way.
Yeah, they do. Absolutely. Okay, I'll make sure to link all the Bractology stuff. They're going to continue to change every single week. It's going to be interesting to see how like different records are going to kind of shift the way that the brackets look. I'm learning more and more about how that works, and it's a lot. So let's move on to some games to watch, because there are some really, really good games this week. Let's start with Wednesday. We have number 24 West Virginia versus Kansas State on Wednesday on ESPN+. Cal, do you have any quick thoughts on this game, kind of things that you're excited for / looking forward to?
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Yeah, we love Press Virginia, obviously. I hope Aoka Lee plays because we saw her come back and then she missed a game again. And she's another one that I actually, maybe I just don't keep up with injury news enough, but she's another one that I don't know the status of. I don't know if you
do. It was very quiet. No, it was very quiet. Yeah. No, you're good.
Completely good. So I think she completely changed the complexion of the game. Obviously, Kansas State picked up a couple good wins without her when she first went out. But we saw last year they played the whole year without her, and it's still a good basketball team. They have a lot of talent, but it definitely completely changes things on the inside, and especially against a team like West Virginia that's going to bring so much pressure. So we'll see, but definitely a huge game in the Big 12 standings.
Mm-hmm. And then on Thursday we have a packed slate of games. Some in the PAC network. No, okay, that was a stretch, but I'll start with that one. I did just make a terrible, terrible Pac-12 joke, but we have Utah versus UCLA.
Well, we haven't had a pun yet on this pod. We made it 24 minutes and 27 seconds, so you had to get something out there.
That was a horrible one. I'll even admit to that. But we have Utah versus UCLA at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN on the main network. So I'm excited so I could watch that one. That'll be a good one. I'm curious to see how UCLA continues to play now that Lauren Betts is kind of, you know, looking like herself again and is back from whatever had happened before. Obviously, we don't know. Not going to go into that. But yeah, this is an exciting matchup. We have a lot of other ones. I'll kind of just list them all, and then Cal, you can tell me which ones you're kind of looking forward to. We also have Duke versus Syracuse at 7 p.m. on the ACC network on Thursday as well. Duke is another team that has quietly been pretty good and has had some pretty solid wins. And another exciting team, obviously, Syracuse as well. We've talked about them a little bit too. So I'm really looking forward to that matchup. I think that's going to be a good one. We've also have NC State versus North Carolina on ACC network. Then we have Iowa versus Indiana on Peacock, which I learned what that was a few weeks ago. And then we have Auburn versus LSU on the SEC network. Of course, we all know the last time Auburn and LSU faced off, Auburn took that win in an upset. Cal, a lot of matchups on Thursday. Which ones are kind of standing out to you, and who or what are you looking for?
Yeah, Utah UCLA. I love that it's on ESPN. The previous matchup between these two was on ESPN or ESPN2, I want to say. It was an overtime thriller on national TV. So maybe we'll get that again. I went back and watched that game last night, and I loved how Utah guarded Lauren Betts all game, and so that's something I think to watch for now that Lauren Betts is back and kind of getting her her feet under her again after missing some time is that, I mean, Utah's undersized. They don't really play anyone above 6'2". And so they're giving up, whatever, 5 inches on the inside with Jenna Johnson and Alyssa Pilley. But I think they did a great job in terms of, more often than not, they sent a double to Lauren Betts like on the pass. They didn't even wait for her to catch it. UCLA didn't really make him pay too much from the outside in that game in terms of the three-point shooting, which Utah gave him. Like when they fronted the post and they tried to lob over the top and use that size that Lauren Betts had, like Utah did a great job on the backside help. They pressured the ball, which made it hard to even make those post-entry passes. So I really think that the interesting thing for me in this game is going to be watching kind of how Corey Close, a UCLA coach, does in terms of adjustments and kind of countering and getting Lauren Betts more involved in a matchup where I really think she could eat if they use her well.
Yeah, absolutely. And there have been so many close games. Like you mentioned that their last one went to overtime, even just this past weekend. Like I feel like it is just getting even more competitive by the second. So I feel like a lot of these big matchups are just going to deliver. I love chaos.
Especially in this conference.
Yes, yes, yes. The Pac-12 will not go quietly or gently into that good night. And we love them for it. But yeah, any of these other Auburn, LSU, Iowa, Indiana, NC State, North Carolina, you have any thoughts on those?
Yeah, Auburn, LSU, I'm just interested to see how LSU responds after losing that game, obviously, that we talked about on this pod.
You know they will.
and they're at home this time, so they will. They will. Mm-hmm. Iowa, Indiana, huge game at the top of the Big Ten standings. Ohio State's kind of in the driver's seat right now, but if anyone's going to have a chance to catch them, it's going to be the winner of this game. So that one's always a big one. And Indiana, when going back to our last segment on bracketology, is a team that kind of snuck in there in that top 16, but they don't really have a huge signature resume win at the top. They just kind of have taken care of business against the teams that they're supposed to. Obviously got kind of blasted by Stanford earlier in the year, and same thing last time they played Iowa. So this is going to be a good chance for them to prove that they can hang with the top competition here and really cement their spot as a host in the tournament. I think if they win this game, if not, then it's going to get really dicey whether they get to host in the tournament or not. And then Duke in Syracuse is one I'm really excited to watch because, you know, someone who I people haven't talked about enough, and that includes us. I haven't talked about her enough. Is Deja Fair of Syracuse. We all talk about Caitlin Clark breaking the record. Deja Fair sixth in all-time scoring in NCAA Division I history. So she's not that far behind. Not that she's going to catch Caitlin, but she's rising the leaderboards fast in terms of all-time scores, and she is a joy to watch. But she gets to go up against a Duke defense that you talked about earlier that has been playing really well, a lot better here in the last month or so. They just dropped one to Virginia Tech the other day, a close game, which no shame in that, obviously. Yeah. Duke is going to do everything they can to take away the three-point line and turn Deja Fair into, try to make her finish at the rim more. And
I thought
so
you were gonna
we'll
do
see how they
name.
Do with that. Oh, I don't even have
Deja,
one. What's the
turn
pun?
Deja Fair into Deja don't. I don't know. That was bad, too.
Oh, I there's thought you had one. You didn't have one?
No, I thought it sounded there's like you were going to do like a lead up into one. I'll think about it.
I'm sorry to let you down. Yeah, you need to. There is one somewhere. There's definitely a pun with her name. Yeah. There's a lot of puns with her name. I missed out there, but
into Deja Dare.
That's your department. So, okay, there we go.
Daring her to take shots. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know how I feel about that one, but yeah, that's a lot of
outsource this.
May have to outsource it. Maybe Dana. Dana's pretty good at coming up with the puns. So if you're listening,
yeah,
please tweet one. But yeah, those are really exciting games this week. Anything else you kind of want to hit on before we wrap this up?
I don't think so. Yeah, we covered a lot of ground. Had a fun time,
yes,
as always.
Yes, we did. College basketball is getting very, very exciting. Can't wait for tournament play to come up very soon. And make sure you're tuned into Coast to Coast every week. I know we weren't here last week, but we will be here next week, pretty sure. And we'll continue to talk about college basketball, everything. WNBA draft, as that's going to come up soon after March Madness, of course. Make sure you're subbed to the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network, wherever you get podcasts. You can follow us on social media at Her Hoop Stats, myself at KrinaMM, Calvin at CWessel31. And we will see you next Tuesday.